can start it probably anytime you want.
Okay. Awesome. Well, welcome today. My name is Lasse Young. I am the Chief Revenue Officer at IXN. I'm also one of the founders of our company. So IXN Tech was founded about 7 years ago. We are, a little premature. we started as a CRM company, actually, and we've evolved. Client relationship management. So we had basically a management tool that our clients would use to manage their clientele, their policies, and things like that. We ended up discontinuing that and going more towards marketing. we made a pivot, so to speak. Our theme for the year is up here. It says hashtag insurance revolution. And hashtag is, for those of you who don't know, that's what you put on social media if you want people to follow a certain movement. People use hashtags now to get people to follow certain types of things. For example, I have an Instagram page. I'm an avid shooter. I do competition long-range shooting. And I'll post pictures on my Instagram, and I'll say, hashtag long-range shooting. And then anyone who goes on Instagram and searches long-range shooting, my picture will come up. And so that's a way, hashtags are an interesting way to use to market yourself. It's kind of like putting keywords. So if you've ever built a website, you put keywords into your website to help them come up in a Google search. You can do the same thing with just posting a picture now. So our theme for the year is hashtag insurance revolution, because we're trying to revolutionize the way insurance is sold and bought.
Does somebody have to actually type those words in? Insurance revolution?
Yeah, so you can do a search. Welcome. We just started, so you guys are good timing. So you actually have to, when you're on Instagram or Twitter kind of revolutionized it. You type in insurance revolution, all one word, or long-range shooting, or whatever it is you're looking for, and it'll come up that way. So we'll talk a little bit about social media later on. I'm going to dig into that as we go. So I have a little video that I want to show. If any of you have ever seen the movie Coming to America, mm-hmm. with yeah. Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall.
That was before your time, wasn't it?
Oh. Hold on, let's get the sound working here.
Hall.
Yeah. Let me make sure the sound's working here. There we go. All right. Come on. Oh, that's my connection lost. I guess so. There we go. Oh. What happened?
I'm clean up just like you guys.
Hold on.
But now,
we're going to start this over.
See, I'm washing lettuce. Soon I'll be on fries, then the grill. A year or two, I make assistant manager. And that's where the big bucks start rolling in.
Just 2 years, eh?
So, I really like this clip to kind of start off my presentation, because I feel like that's very much the attitude in the life insurance industry, right? This guy works at McDonald's, and he's got this positive attitude, and he's got this outlook on life that I'm going to grow I'm going to work my way up. And my presentation today is really about how to build your business and how to revolutionize it. And so it's just kind of a fun little clip. Next. Now the clicker's not working. There we go. So I work for IXN. For those of you who haven't heard who we are, we're a technology company. We have a booth out there. I'm not going to go too much into what we do in our products today. I have some product brochures and business cards up here if you're interested in learning about what we do. In short, we're a technology company. We build mobile apps. We build quoting software. We build websites. So if you're looking to do any kind of online digital marketing, marketing life insurance, or mobile, mostly we build them for BGAs. We are coming out with more of an agent app that your clients can download. So if you're interested in being one of our beta testers for that, let me know. That's something we're in development with. But that's essentially what we do. these brochures up here kind of describe more what we do. We also have a giveaway at our booth. We're giving away some free Bluetooth headphones with like a little charger. If you come to a survey, you'll be entered into the drawing. But essentially, what I'm going to talk today, my topic today is the evolution of the insurance sales, how it's evolved, and how to basically not get left behind and keep up with the evolving market. Simple Darwinism says, organizations that don't evolve will most likely be the organizations that go extinct. And I have a little kind of case study. You guys all remember Blockbuster, right? That great place. I actually worked at Hollywood Video when I was a kid in high school. It's like a great place you can go and you could browse the store and you could pick up the movie. Well, it didn't really have the disc in it, or the VHS if you went. By the time I worked there, they had DVDs. They were just getting rid of VHS. But Blockbuster versus Netflix. So really interesting case scenario. And so what happened was Blockbuster was purchased by Viacom in 1993 for $8.4 billion. And Netflix started in 1997 with $2.5 million. Well, in around 2000, Netflix came to Blockbuster because they were almost out of business. And they were really kind of struggling to get their business going. Take it from someone who has built a startup, it's not easy. So they were on the verge of going out of business, and they came to Blockbuster, and Blockbuster, they basically said, no, we're not interested. It wasn't that they didn't see the vision, it was that they didn't have the know-how. They had this really tight-knit group of a board. They didn't know how to evolve. Their CEO was actually a really smart guy, but they didn't know how to evolve, and they didn't know how to take that. And they made about $200 million a year on late fees. And so this was going to get rid of late fees. It's going to change their whole business. So they said no. And last market evaluation that I looked at for Netflix was $40 billion. About five times the highest valuation Blockbuster ever got. And Blockbuster, we all know, they're no more. They actually tried 5 years later. So in 2005, Blockbuster tried. The CEO went back to the board and said, hey guys, remember how we could have bought Netflix? Well, we should have. He had a plan for building it, but by then it was too late. And so what we look at here is the tipping point comes quickly for a lot of businesses. So there's innovators, there's early adopters, there's early majority, late majority, and then there's the laggards. And so you have to ask yourself, in your business, where are you? Are you an innovator? Are you an early adopter? Where do you sit on this curve? Majority of people come in right here in the middle. They kind of wait for the early adopters to figure out the kinks. But for most people, by the time you're here, it's already too late.
But it can be risky being an early adopter.
It can.
You know, I've seen orthodontists adopt a certain, type of braces, and then that technology goes out the window and it kills their business.
For sure.
Right?
So in the insurance business, what have you seen?
Internet leads.
What way?
Well, I used them 10 years ago.
Uh-huh. So you were kind of an early adopter, and
as far as I know, the first in the state of Utah.
Okay.
At least the company I was using.
And you're talking about purchasing leads, not developing your own necessarily, but purchasing leads from someone else. Okay, that's a good example.
I would say the Affordable Care Act just followed that for me. On the individual side, I mean, definitely an early adopter in it. Went in hard, didn't make a whole lot of money early, but man, there was a couple years after that. Humbly did well, and yeah, we're definitely in the laggard side on that.
Sure.
I'm talking the business side.
Okay.
You know, where the agency's at,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like we're going away from it, much like Blockbuster.
Right.
Got too much in there, we got to book the clients, but it's profitable about like the laggard side there.
Good example.
We're hoping there's an innovator that comes up real soon.
Yeah, so there's definitely risk. There's definitely risk, but there's also risk in being here, right?
Right.
So what's more risky? I would, in my opinion, I think it's more risky to be here than to be here. Granted, you got to pick right. You know, there's a process in being an early adopter or even an innovator, but it doesn't always work. So what was the innovative source of marketing 30 years ago?
Color.
Yellow Pages.
Color ads.
Color ads in the Yellow Pages.
Oh, so
I know. Look at how small they are. I mean, this must have been recent, right? Because this is, they were like, yeah, they were really good doorstops. Now they barely hold the door. Now I think this is the only way to get them now. And they were laggards. They didn't innovate soon enough. Now you have companies like what's that company that does the. It's like some lady's name, and they do like reviews. Angie's List? Yeah, Angie's List. You know, they really kind of Yelp. Companies like that, they're the innovators. So what's the most innovative source of marketing today? What do you guys think? What have you guys seen?
Google, you mean the search engine?
Google search?
Facebook.
Facebook, so social media? Yeah, I don't think referrals have gone away, but the way you get referrals has innovated. It's changed, right? You could say that I get friends all the time who go on Facebook who type in, "Hey, does anyone know a good plumber in my area?" And I go, "Oh yeah, I just used this guy the other day. That's a referral." We didn't used to have that platform to do that, but we do now. So how do we tap into that? And that's kind of what my presentation's about today. So you don't, you know, some of us may feel like this is us, right? We get in front of a computer, we start using technology, and we're like, I can't do this. Like, how does this even work?
How'd you get that photo?
that's my dad. No, just kidding. But some of us feel like this is us. But you'd be surprised. I watch these like motivation videos on YouTube when I drive to work. I have about a 40 minute commute, depending on the construction by my house right now. But I watch all these like motivation videos, uplifting type of things while I'm driving. Well, I don't watch them, I kind of listen to them. YouTube has a lot of good content.
Yeah.
So one thing I picked up that I thought was really interesting was Mark Cuban. Everyone knows who Mark Cuban is, right? He's the Shark Tank owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He said, it's not about the money or connections, it's the willingness to outwork and outlearn everyone. And what I've learned is that anyone can learn anything if they want. But that's the ticket, they have to want to. You may think that this is you, but if you put your mind to it and if you're interested enough, you can learn this stuff. And the reason I bring this up is because I'm in this industry, so I'm 32. I went to school for marketing. I came in this industry thinking, hey, everyone should want to do digital marketing, right? It's the future. Everyone wants to do social media. A lot of times I get people saying, oh, I don't need a website. I don't want to deal with that because it scares me, you know. And we do work in a somewhat aging industry. We've got technology that's quite a bit behind other industries, in my opinion, and we're trying to help with that. But really the ticket here is you can learn this stuff. You just got to be willing to outwork. So I'll talk a little bit about that at the end and kind of how I've done that. So I'm going to talk about three complementary sales strategies today. So I will we'll try to jump through these. Really, we're going to jump into mobile. We're going to talk about web, and we're going to talk about social. Social, I'm going to be specific to one platform, so we'll cover that when I get there. So let's start with mobile. This is along the same lines. So you might be tempted to say, this was in Forbes magazine, oh, mobile isn't that important in my industry. We're a bricks and mortar type of business, but mobile affects anyone who is selling something. If you own a restaurant, mobile is how people are deciding where to have lunch today and dinner tomorrow. If your business is self-storage, people are now reserving storage units online after they've loaded up the truck with junk and are already driving around looking for a facility. If you're a bank, you better believe people want to do more with their mobile app than just check their balance. I just deposited a check this morning on my phone. People are using mobile devices to do everything they do, and if there's something they can't do on their mobile phone, they're frustrated and ready to leap to the first offering that comes along. This is so true, especially for my generation, the millennials. Anytime I do anything, the other day I was like, I want to find a new car wash to get my truck washed at. Went on my phone, found a place. I recently bought a house. The first thing I did was I went on my phone, downloaded the Trulia app, and I searched for houses on my phone. That was the first thing I did. I called my realtor, who's a buddy of mine, and said, hey, I found a house. That's how people, the next generation of your clients, are buying. It's important that we're there. So this is interesting. Consumers spend an increasing percentage of their time on mobile devices. Mobile devices users surpass desktop users for media and website consumption. Do you know that? So around 2014-ish, mobile surpassed desktop. More people are browsing on their phones than they are on their computers. It's true. Happened. Mobile apps now account for more than half, 52% of all time spent on digital media. That's from 2015. An estimated worldwide mobile app revenue in 2015, they estimated that's what it would be. And then last one, this I thought was really interesting. Mobile app usage by age and number of apps. So 18 to 24 obviously kills the rest of them, but look at 55 plus. Number of apps, 22. Time spent per month, almost a full day. They spend on their mobile phone. Using apps.
Not on their phone, just using apps.
Yeah, not talking on the phone, using apps on their phone. Whether it's a Chrome browser, whether it's their, let's see, what do I have on here? Their camera, their, I've got some life insurance quoting apps, obviously, their Pandora, their Instagram, my reloading calculator, whatever it is, people are spending a ton of time on their phones. So the question is, where do we go? There's a lot of apps that you can be using out there. Here's one of the apps. What I would do if I were all of you, and for you guys who are with Allegis, you already know, make sure that the brokerage that you're working with is providing the right technology tools for you to be able to do these things. Here's an app that we provide where you can do quoting, you can drop a ticket, or you can do a needs analysis, do a quote, and drop a ticket. By drop a ticket, I mean submit an application, basically, to a carrier in about under 5 minutes, rather than printing out a 40-page application. I don't have time to dig into all of the different apps you should be using, but you need to be aware that this is the future. And the future is in these phones. The new iPhone costs close to $1,000. Right. Yeah, they just announced it, right? And I guarantee you, tons of people are going to buy it. Yeah. There's going to be waiting lists, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I have an Android. I didn't spend that much on it. But There are tools like this out here. We have a free tool. If you're not, if your brokerage doesn't download the IXN mobile app, you can do quoting, you can do app submission, you can do needs analysis on our app, but it's got our brand on it. So mobile is the future, and like I said, we're developing more tools for agents and agencies to be able to provide to their clients. But there are a lot of tools out there.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
Being you're a millennial, right, so how do you see yourself using these type of apps to could drive you into see the advisor or the agent?
Sure. So I'm having a baby in about 2 months, my first kid, right? I'm going to up my life insurance. Right now I've got a pretty small policy. And what's the first thing? Obviously, I work for a company that does quoting, so I know where to go. But me and the people like me, the first thing that they're going to do is they're going to go online and they're going to do a search. Or they're going to go on their phone and they're going to do a search for pricing. That's the first thing they're going to do. And then they're going to try to buy life insurance once they've kind of figured it out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to, I'm either going to go online or I'm going to talk to an agent, right? Now, there's a lot of speculation in the industry. Are independent agents going away? Is it going to be, there's a lot of direct marketers. I'm going to something called LIDMA next week. It's all direct marketers like SelectQuote and those types of companies. But I'm still going to talk to an agent, even though I'm a millennial. I don't think agents are going away. But I think agents need to be adopting this technology in order to compete with those big direct marketers and things like that. And
what
carriers.
What caused you to go see an agent? I guess is what I'm trying to get at.
Where do
you go see here and then go see an agent? See, I'm trying to connect it.
Because I want to educate myself first. Because we live in a world. So the reason I'm going to go on here first and find out pricing is because I want to know my agent's not screwing me. And we live in an age of information. Information is more readily at our fingertips than ever before. So I can easily go and find information. That's what I learned most in college is how to get information, right? Mm-hmm. But second, I'm going to go to that agent because I trust him, because I've worked with him before. He's got my auto policy and different things, and I'm going to go to him.
I think you should get a second opinion from me.
Oh, okay.
Because you know about
technology. Here's my business card.
I already have. No, but I think a lot of times that your generation doesn't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've told us a lot of information about you personally.
Mm-hmm.
You just bought a new house. You have a child that's coming on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've given you some information that 32-year-old is the cheapest age to buy life insurance, and it's true. And you look at the mortality tables. That's the perfect time to buy it.
Right.
Right? But you're missing out on opportunity that you don't even know exists,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're shopping for term insurance,
mm-hmm.
which is what you're good at because you know what all this is
right.
is doing. But your age, those Gen Ys, those mm-hmm. echo boomers, they're going to do this and they're missing out on opportunity on what else they could do that might be more efficient than doing this and getting trapped down the road in a term policy
mm-hmm.
at 42, right? So, I mean, that's one of the things where once you know, like what I do for my clients, it might change the total perception of how you view the insurance. Seriously. And I think that's the value that each one of us brings is because we're seeing things that not our clients are not seeing. True?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's going to be interesting to see how that young generation adopts this. Because I've had several younger people, they just call me, no, I want this. I want this. Don't try to talk me into anything else. I just want this. Okay, here you go. Right off the Allegis site.
Right.
Right? You want a 30-year term? Here it is. And sometimes you got to just give people what they want. But it wasn't the best thing for him.
Right.
But I had no chance of trying to.
And that's why I don't think the independent agent's going away. I don't think that's. It may have shrunk, but I think it's here to stay. And that's what we're trying to do at IXN is we're trying to empower the independent agent with technology to compete with your select quotes and companies like that. There's an empty slide. Let's move into web, because I only have so much time and I really want to get to the social media stuff. So there's essentially eight tips that I want to go over that people, that I think some of which are neglected. But if you're looking to build a web platform for marketing, these are the eight tips that you'll want to take away from this. We're going to go through those. First one is your brand. Pay attention to your brand, please. When I came into this industry, I was blown away, and I haven't been here that long, at how many people either don't even brand themselves or have a horrible brand. So make sure you have a good brand. Pay attention to that brand. That's important. Let's go back to this. Spend a little money on it. Before I worked, was an owner at IXN, I worked for a company called LogoWorks. Any of you guys heard of it? It was kind of a startup here. We were bought by HP, and then HP let it die, unfortunately. But LogoWorks kind of innovated the graphic design world. They took it online. Getting branding is cheaper than you think. Getting a custom designed logo is cheaper than you think. And that is your, in web, online, that is your first foot forward. The first thing they do at the top left corner of your website is look at your brand. And millennials and younger pay attention to that. They care about it. What time do I stop? I can't remember. I think I started at 1:30. I'm like, 2:20. I think it's 2:20, yeah. Okay, just want to make sure I have enough time. Don't just spend to spend. So you may, Google has a great service. You can call them up and you can actually talk to a real person, and Google will tell you, oh, you should do pay-per-click marketing. And what's your budget? Oh, $1,000 a month, okay. And they'll say, great, we can use that $1,000 a month to get you clicks and get you people to your site. Don't do that. It's expensive, especially in this industry. It's very hard to do. I don't recommend it. We did it for our business. We tried it as kind of a case study, and we tried to let Google decide. And we were getting like the weirdest clicks. Like I can't. Some of the things that were referring to us were things we definitely did not want referring to our website. Google will happily take your money, but there's better ways to do it. Which leads me to my next point. Do your research. Make sure you spend some time. For this presentation, I was looking up some of those stats, and it took me like 3 minutes to find some of those stats. You know, like I said before, do your research. So Google pay-per-click can be good, but you have to know what you're doing. You have to dig into the analytics. There's tools out there, free tools online, to do keyword searches and all these different things, and it's all there. You can pay a company. There's companies like, there's one here called Orange Soda, SEO.com, that you can spend thousands and thousands of dollars, and sometimes they'll do something for you, but this is a hard industry for that. But if you do your research, you can find the right niches and you can find the right places to market that. Understand your buyer process. That's part one of the things we've been talking about today, is what is your customer's buyer process? You were talking about your guy who called you up and said, this is what I want. And you sold it to him because that's what he wanted. If you prepare and you understand your buyers beforehand, if you understand what their process is going to be, you can prepare that on the web. So, you know, when you're building your website, you have to take into account what are people going to my website for? How are they finding me? How are they getting there? And then once they're there, what are they looking for? So you have to understand your customer and how they're, which is really our next point, which is know your target audience, right? So, you know, some of you may be targeting, may not be targeting millennials at all. Maybe you're just doing renewals. I don't know. Know what they're looking for. Provide it for them. So, for example, we provide a life insurance quote engine that goes right onto your site. It's like $30 a month. It's the cost of buying one lead or so a month, right? Someone can go on there, they can run a quote, and it generates a lead for you. It does term and GUL. Well, we found that a lot of the clients who have that on their site and who generate leads don't sell term and GUL policies. But that's what people are looking for. And so what do? They pitch them on whole life or IUL or, you know, GUL. Or, yeah. But you have to, in order to know how to how to get your clients to your site and get them interacting with your site, you have to provide those tools. And they're out there. Build a compelling web presence. This is my favorite one, partially because we help you with that. Here's our website, and here's a website I found online for gates and fences. This is an example of a bad website, in case you guys didn't notice. I like to think this is an example of a good website nowadays. Yeah. And that's what, again, going back to knowing your target audience, you got to know what they're looking for. What are they used to? Design nowadays and user interface, user experience has hit a whole new level. And they expect Apple type of design. But you can get that for, it's out there for, you don't have to pay Apple prices like an Apple designer to design a website like that. We build websites for about $400, and we're not the only ones who do it. And there's other companies that do it, but it's $400 and $35 a month. And we build websites that look like this, and that do a good job of marketing. And we help you build your message. They're not out of the box templates. You don't want that either. That's another subject for another day. But make sure your web presence is compelling. So first of all, it starts with your brand. You can see the rest of our site, our brand is very clean, clean lines. We got specific colors, and the rest of our site follows that. So make sure you build a compelling web presence. If you don't feel capable, find someone who does.
Do you only build sites for insurance and investment guys, or do you build sites for other businesses?
We only do insurance and financial planning, investment. Things like that. Yeah, this is our niche. So, again, that's content is king. Find your niche. Content. This is just kind of like this doesn't really help you much, but the content of your website is today the most important part of your site. I like the, you know, make sure it's clean and the design is good, but the content is really what's going to drive traffic. So Google, there used to be something you could do called link trading. When I was at Hewlett Packard, we had someone on our marketing team. All she did was call other notable websites and say, hey, if you put a link to our website on yours, we'll put a link to yours on ours. And that's all she did. We had like thousands of links. It was called backlinking. And Google soon figured that out and said, we don't want to do that anymore, and all that work went down the drain. And by the time I'm done with this presentation, Google has probably thought of a way to change the algorithms again. But for now, content is king. And so when you're writing the content for your website, pay attention to things like keywords. Keywords are still important, but now Google has these little things called, they call spiders, and they go out and crawl the web. They crawl your site, and they go just like you read. They go top down, left to right. They follow the navigation of your site. So they start with the home page. They go here to products, and ours products, and then there's partners, carriers, about, pricing. So they'll go that way. And the top content, just a second, is the most important. And you can put your keywords there. So when you're writing your homepage message, like, hey, welcome to my site, this is what I do, throw in keywords. Don't overdo it, but throw in the keywords that you want to show up in Google search. That's the number one thing that will help you show up in Google search over anything else.
So I heard from a brilliant Amazon seller that he and other successful Amazon people would put, say, 1,000 keywords at the bottom of their page in white text.
Yep.
So that the web crawler, so it does that on what you're talking about as well.
Yeah, and Google's gotten smart. They figured that out. So if you overdo it now, they'll flag it.
And then they just won't show up. Mm-hmm.
They'll flag it. They'll.
Do you know what the overdo it mark is?
I don't. They're very hush about their algorithm. Whoa, sorry. That's my. Sorry about that. That's my like. That's my phone. I was not supposed to. I thought I muted that. Yeah, so they've gotten pretty smart, and they're very hush-hush about their algorithms and things like that. There's probably companies out there who know more about this than I do, like Orange Soda and SEO.com, the people who do this every day, and that's all they do. But, yeah, they've gotten pretty good at stuff like that. So your content is really important. So when we build websites for people, when you're getting a website built, make sure that you're not just buying an out-of-the-box website with all the content already pre-filled, because what will happen is Google, again, they've gotten very smart. If they find 10, 20, 30 sites where all the text is exactly the same, they'll just lump them all together and say, put them aside. Jeez, I gotta turn that off. Sorry, guys. That will not, there, we muted the whole thing. Sorry about that. All right, so next on my list here is interact with your users. Make sure your website is interactive. Like I was talking about our life insurance quote engine. Put a needs analysis calculator on there. They're out there. Lifehappens.org, they have a pretty good service where you can provide videos. They provide videos and different calculators and things like that. Make sure your customer can interact, but make sure it's useful. It's not just a bunch of fluff, and it generates leads. So for our quote engines, everyone who runs a quote on it, it generates a lead into the back end so you can call them and see what they're doing and things like that. But make your website interactive. That's what people are looking for now. You don't want just a digital business card. A lot of people put up digital business cards. They don't do a whole lot. They're more of just, if you don't care about marketing and building leads, growing your business that way, then yeah, that's fine. For a lot of people, they put up a website just because it's almost like you have to have it now. It's a standard for doing business almost. But make sure it's interactive. Make sure there's things that they can do. There's testimonials that they can read. There's contact forms. We provide, on our website, we provide ebooks. So we'll write like something like this, like 8 tips on how to do SEO for your website, or you know, a guide to how to develop leads online, or things like that. And we'll put them on our website. We'll put a contact form in front of it, so they have to fill out their info, and then they can download the ebook for free. So we provide some great content, and which helps our SEO as well, and they get some value from it. So make it interactive. There's lots of things you can do. If you're not sure what to do, go to Google and say, how to make my website interactive, and they'll give you a list of ideas. So, on web, any questions there before I go into social?
You know, testimonials, you just mentioned, they're really not allowed for a registered investment advisor.
Oh, they're not?
No. So, I'm assuming most of us are investment advisor reps, right? You can't use testimonials.
Okay.
It breaks the 1940 Act rules.
Okay. I've seen some agents, I'm not sure if this is illegal or not, but I've seen some agents build a separate website for their life business.
Okay.
And use that more for marketing and lead generation.
That works.
And they don't talk anything about their securities or anything like that. I'm not sure if that's illegal or that's breaking anything, but that's what I've seen. Okay, so social media. last piece to my presentation here. We got 10 minutes. I'm not going to talk about all the social medias. There's a ton of them. There's a ton of different things you can do. I'm going to talk about LinkedIn. LinkedIn's my favorite. For this industry, LinkedIn is by far the best. Instagram's fun. Twitter is pretty cool. Facebook is great for Facebook business page. If you've got a lot of friends, if you don't, then it's not so good. Definitely use those platforms. But LinkedIn is where it's at.
We most of us are only allowed to use LinkedIn.
Well, good.
Is that right? I mean, does anyone, do you guys use Google or Facebook?
I use both.
For business?
Yeah. But I'm not registered.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are some compliant, there are some companies out there who do like Facebook compliant content and things like that that you can do. I think, I want to say Hearsay Social. I think that's one of them. There's some different companies out there that provide that.
Hearsay manages some of them, right? So they give the content that's legal and then.
I'm not sure about their whole platform.
Then you use that. So you use Hearsay, and then they populate the LinkedIn.
Gotcha, yeah.
Tell us why you like LinkedIn.
Because I've had a ton of success with it, selling. So LinkedIn is a great, because I'm business to business. But I feel like the insurance industry, is the sale is kind of like, it's something where it's a product that's bought, or sold, not bought. It's still sold. The independent agent is still, and like you were saying, it's they don't always know what they don't know. And so people are looking for someone professional. LinkedIn is a professional place. If you're tagging him on Twitter, you could be some spammer. But LinkedIn, they could look at reviews, they can look at your profile, and they can look at a bunch of different things about you, who you're connected with. They can see a lot about you, and so it's a great platform for that. I've had a ton of success selling on LinkedIn, and so I really like that platform. I've also done it on Facebook. I've done it on Twitter. I've sold using Instagram. I did a test earlier this year. I'm really into shooting. And I mentioned that earlier, before, I think before you guys came in, but I do long-range competition shooting. And a friend of mine got a bunch of free stuff because he's got a bunch of followers on Instagram. So I was like, huh, let's do a little test. Let's see if I can build up some followers. I built up like 700 followers in 2 months. And suddenly people were coming to me asking me to post pictures about their stuff on my thing and tag them in it. And I'm getting people asking me questions about the guns that I'm shooting and things like that, and suddenly I'm like an industry expert, and I went down to something called SHOT Show, which is like a big gun show in Vegas. Yeah, a friend of mine's a federal firearms license, so I could go with him as a guest, and it's like the biggest gun show in the world. And so I did some reviews and different things on some guns, and I kind of got too busy for it, so it's kind of stayed where it's at. But it can be a great tool. A lot of these other things can be great tools, but LinkedIn is where it's at. So we're going to go through, I'm running out of time here, but we're going to do a quick overview of some of the things that you should be focusing on with your LinkedIn profile. So first of all, complete your profile, snag your name, add a nice photo, and make connections. So let's dig into that. Complete your profile. I can't tell you how many profiles I've seen that are incomplete, that don't have a summary, or that don't have their education or their job on there, their current job. On your job posting, where you put what you do right now, you can put a description of that. It's a way to, that's a perfect place to sell yourself. Oops. So. Make sure you complete your profile. There's this nice little thing up here. Mine says profile strength. I'm an all-star. It'll tell you when your profile is pretty much complete, but it shouldn't be something that it's done. It's something that you should be continually updating. It's free. It's free marketing for yourself. Make changes. You can post. So on mine, if you go on my LinkedIn profile, feel free to look me up and connect with me. You'll see there. I've posted an article I wrote, and I also posted a video, a presentation I did here at Grant Taggart 4 years ago that's on there. I should probably update that. but we recorded it. So make sure you complete your profile. Make sure, go through it, look through it, that kind of thing. Snag your name. So by default, LinkedIn will give you linkedin.com/IN/bunch of numbers and letters. You can go in here and you can set your name. That way when you share your profile, it has your name in it. See, I got lucky, I have my full name. If you have a very common name, that's gonna be hard. But I have a pretty unique name, so semi-unique. So you can go into your profile and you can go into edit. We can look at it afterwards. I don't really have time to dig into it. But go into edit your profile and there's a place where you can customize that. It's like down at the bottom of your profile. Add a nice photo. What do you guys think?
Not good.
Spring break? This is not the place for spring break photos. Add a nice headshot. Get a nice headshot done by, you know, your sister who's thinks she's a photographer. Or if you know someone who's a good photographer, do a nice headshot. You can see mine. Here's mine.
It's a good shot.
That was a self-portrait.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'm a photographer as well.
Did you edit your eyes in that shot?
No. Maybe a little. all right, and then make connections. Family, friends, customers, colleagues, prospects. You can just go out and just start connecting with people. You'll be amazed at the people you find on there. It's kind of like, you know, I've actually found a lot of people on LinkedIn that I never found on Facebook because it's a professional place. And so people that I worked with, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago that I totally lost connection with, and I'm connected, and all of a sudden someone writes a review about me when they worked with me. It's kind of cool. I'm connected with some of my college professors. I'm connected with my family and friends, but I go out and I use LinkedIn to connect with customers. So I might find you guys after this, if I know your name, and try to connect with you. And then I'll share things occasionally, and sometimes I might tag you in something. Hey, remember when we talked about this? Check this article out. There you go. Thanks. Yeah. But, you know, you can go out and you can find prospects. So let's dig into that. So here's 10 LinkedIn tips and tricks. So those are the four basics. Once you've done those four, then you can really dig into using LinkedIn. So you want to become a thought leader. Connect your website with backlinks. I'm going to show you how to use an intelligent search. Let's just dig into it. Become a thought leader. So within LinkedIn, LinkedIn's a great place to write a quick article, like what you were talking about. You know, you have an opinion about, hey, I had this client the other day who came to me and they bought this insurance. And they told me, I want 30-year term. Well, here's how I could have helped them. Write a 2-paragraph article about that, post it on the blog of your website, and then take that link and post it on your LinkedIn. Well, guess what? You're connected with 500 people. Maybe 4 of them see that, and maybe they went out and bought a term policy, and they call you up and say, hey. So you want to say, LinkedIn is a great place to set yourself up as a thought leader. Facebook, not as much. It's an okay place to share, but it's more like, hey, check out what I did this weekend, you know? Yeah, it's more casual. LinkedIn is a place for that. And it's not that hard. Take 10, 15 minutes a day to go in, write something, post something, even just like or repost something that someone else shared. Read something and repost it if you think it's applicable. Great place for that. Set yourself up as a thought leader, and you'll find that people will find you. You have to be active. It doesn't happen unless you're active. Connect your website with backlinks. This is actually a way you can do SEO. This is a free, really easy SEO tool. So within your LinkedIn profile, you can put in 3 websites. So I have my insurance technology tools, which goes to IXN's website, insurance marketing blog, which goes to the IXN blog. And then I have my realty photography link, which I do real estate photography on the side for realtors. And so guess what? When people search those things, I show up in the search results. When someone searches real estate photography Utah, LinkedIn helps me show up in Google search. Pretty cool. And this is why. And also the content of my LinkedIn profile. This is probably one of the most useful tools. They have something called intelligent search. So you can actually go in and search for people within certain categories. So here I did a search for people with the keyword in their profile somewhere of CEO or president. So I'm looking for, you know, high net worth people. So I type in CEO and president. So I find it shows people, and guess what it'll do? Is it first people that'll show up are people that you're connected with that's connected with that CEO. So it's like a second connection. And so you could either, if you're really close with that person, you can ask to do an introduction. Oh, I'm out of time. or you can just try to connect with them, send them a message. You can only do that so much with a free profile, but you can do it with a free version. You can upgrade to the pro version and you can get really detailed, like years of experience, groups that they're part of, seniority level, things that they're interested in, company size, when they join LinkedIn. You can get really detailed if you upgrade to the pro version, but this is gold. Everyone in this industry should be using this, but very few are. these are some tips and tricks if you're in.
You don't need pro for that, though, right?
No, no. Here's some tips and tricks. If you want, I can send you this presentation, and just grab my business card, shoot me an email, and I'll send you the whole presentation. This goes through some different ways you can search. Like, you can exclude certain things. You can include multiple words. There's some tips and tips, you know, that LinkedIn doesn't necessarily show. You just kind of have to know them, or you can Google search it and find out. But Bart's going to be mad at me. Be a looky-loo. So this, 3 people viewed my profile. This tells me who viewed my profile, tells them who looked at my profile. So guess what? You go look around, all you have to do is open someone's profile, they get notified that you opened their profile on LinkedIn. I know it sounds like, oh. So you can stalk people, but they know that you're stalking them. The pro version shows you everybody. The free version just shows you, like, which is what most people are on, shows you like, hey, here's the top, here's 3 people that viewed, there was really 10, but they might go, hey, who's that looked at my profile? They might go look at your profile and go, oh, this guy does this, that, and the other. Maybe I should talk to him about that. So be a looky-loo. Join applicable groups. So here's some groups that I'm part of. American Marketing Association, Insurance WebEx, Independent Life Agents. These are ones that, you know, I'm trying to sell to a lot of these guys, and so I'm part of these groups. UVU Entrepreneurs, I went to UVU. Million Dollar Roundtable. So you can join applicable groups and you can find other like-minded people. You can join groups of people that you are targeting as well. So, hey, I'm targeting this type of group. Try to join their group and see if they'll let you join. Then you can post within that group and everyone can see that. recommend contacts and request warm introductions. So you can make recommendations of other people. Here's 2 recommendations of people I used to work with. He's a senior director of sales at Inside Sales. I worked with them at Hewlett Packard, and they're on my team. So they recommended me. So make recommendations, and you'll find that people will recommend you. Running out of time. Let me know if you want to want this presentation. You can create a business presence. That was Allegis's. Stay active. Do a lot of commenting, posting, and avoid being spammy. I'm going to finish with my last thing. 3 things I do every day. Think, listen, and learn. These are 3 things every day. I can't say I do them every day. I try to do them every day. And when I do, I have a successful day. Bill Gates, he spends 2 weeks every year where he disconnects from the world during the busiest time, and he's done this since 1980. He'll go, take a whole week, and he'll just read articles. He'll learn. He'll engage in things by himself. He'll disconnect from the world completely. And so make sure every day you take some time to think, you take some time to listen. Lately that's been fun because I listen to my baby girl in my wife's stomach and learn something.
Once a week, once a day, or whatever?
I try to do it every day. Whatever works best for you. You know, if you want to take once a week and spend an hour, or take, some days I spend, you know, some days that's on my way to work. Some days that's when I get home. Some days I take a break at the office. So I'm out of time. Thanks, guys, for coming. Hopefully I helped you guys out a little bit.